Accounts of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, number 49, the ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. We're going to sing the stanzas 1 and 3 this evening, and in your homes, I encourage you to stand as we sing together 49, 1 and 3. Recite together our confession of faith and the articles of the Apostles' Creed, with each one of us saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now in our Psalter tonight to number 47. Psalter number 47 from Psalm 22. The cry of Jesus from the cross, my God, I cry to thee, but why hast thou forsaken me? Tonight we'll sing the stanzas 1, start with stanza 1, then we'll sing stanzas 6, 7, and 8, and then stanza 10. So that's stanza 1, 6, 7, and 8, and stanza 10 of number 47.
Thank you.
Let us now unite our hearts before God around his throne in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we have come on this night in our individual homes as families, as couples, or just as single members. We have come in thy presence, bound in one spirit and in one blood. And we have come as thy children in this night to stand beneath the cross of Jesus Christ and to confess with the scriptures that it is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, that we have no source of strength, we have no hope, no help, except in him, and that in him we stand upon the rock of ages, the one who has attained all things for us, an inheritance, everlasting righteousness, and acceptance with thee, adoption as thy children. We have gathered, O Lord, now in our prayers with each other. And it is our desire that through the means that we have, we can not again come to our sanctuary, but that through the means we have of the internet, and as we hear one voice now in prayer, we may all pray together, and that we might know thee and the power of his sufferings, the sufferings for our sins, and that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and that we may see that it was his sufferings given of thy eternal grace in our place, substitutionary, that were given to free us from our guilt of sin and to free us from the power of our sins. And so, Heavenly Father, we begin our worship of thee tonight with the song of praise and thanksgiving that thou hast so exceedingly loved us and not withheld from us thy only one begotten Son. We pray now, whether we are alone or in our families or as a couple, we pray that we may continue in our prayer with the whole body of Christ and confess that it was indeed we who brought all of this upon him, that it was for our sins, the sins in which we were born, the sins that cleave to us, and this very day which trouble us, which we must admit before thee and confess that we take for granted, the sins that we often serve, the sins that we often brush aside and often excuse in our lives, the sins we see clearly in others and not our own. It was for our sins. We were the ones who brought the guilt upon him. It was our guilt that deserved this punishment. And it was only of grace that thy Son, the Son of Righteousness, arose to stand in our place. Heavenly Father, give us to see the fullness of his sacrificial work. And we pray then that, again, wherever we are, single member, husband and wife, family with little children, boys and girls, teenagers, newly married, young married, we pray that as we see his sacrificial work, our hearts might be lifted of their guilt. Lift the hearts of the guilty, of the downtrodden, of the oppressed, of the depressed, of the saddened. That we may see that our guilt was imputed to him, and we bear it no more. But we also pray, Lord, bring us repentance, bring us sorrow. How shall we respond to this grace? What will grace do in us? It must certainly humble us before the cross where we are forgiven unto repentance of our sin, to turn from those sins in sorrow, and to seek always to live a life that is pleasing to our Savior and with our Savior. And we pray, Heavenly Father, further, that his cross May now lift us up in this hour from every sorrow, every worry, every anxiety, every care. Our hearts may be flooded with questions. We live in these unsettling times. But if we belong to Him, the crucified Savior, then we know that all things through Him work for our good. We again bring our petitions on behalf of the nation, in behalf of our community, in behalf of ourselves, for the coronavirus. We, O Lord, now are under a further confinement due to this virus. We sense increasing fears in the people walking past us in our communities. We all believe that the future now is unknown. But give us, Lord, to put our trust in Thee. Give us in this pestilence, in this virus, to turn to the Scriptures and to remember that when these things come, the Lord has also said to us that we are to know, and each one of us are to look to our own sore and pestilence in our hearts, so that we may and repent. And we pray that Thou would cause also many in this land and this nation to turn and repent from the pestilence, from the sores, and from the killing virus of sin. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our brother David Undersmith Sr. in Sheldon Meadows. We pray that Thou wilt comfort him in this night, and we pray for all those of our congregation and so many others. We pray for the aged. We pray for those who are confined. We pray for those who are especially susceptible. Wilt Thou comfort them with Thy strength. We rejoice in this week with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with Jared and Amanda Verdine and son Chase Owen. Give them patience. Give them to rest on Thee. Give them to thank Thee for each day, each hour, as they have received Him into their love and home. We also pray for Mark and Bethany Feenstra and family, and the death of a child in the womb, one of twins. Her name was Wren. We are fully persuaded that Thou art able in 20 or 21 weeks to accomplish a perfect way and a perfect will for Thy child. We commit our children and her to Thy unfailing hands. And we pray for the other little girl yet within her womb. O Lord, reach down in this night and grant us Thy peace and rest. Grant us wisdom and humility. Grant us patience and trust in Thee. Help us not to look forward to what may happen tomorrow. For Thou art the same, and Thy love everlasting, which cares for us today, will also care for us tomorrow and every day. And dear Lord, through all of these things, be by our side. For we know that Thou wilt either shield us from suffering, or that Thou wilt give us unfailing strength to bear it. May our hearts tonight hear Thy word, the word of the cross. And may we go home to our, may we remain at our homes. May we be at our homes, worshiping Thee, and knowing that we are just in Thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We once again remember the work of our deacons and their call for us to remember in thankfulness the needs of the church at this time. And I'd like to read to us tonight from Psalm 116 these words concerning the motivation behind our offerings. 116 verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Let's turn together now in our Psalters to number 185. Psalter number 185. And this Psalter is taken from Psalm 69. Also a messianic psalm of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We'll begin tonight with stanza 1, "In full assurance of thy grace, to thee my prayers ascend." And then we go to stanza 5, "Well known to thee is my reproach." Stanza 6, "My heart is broken by reproach." And stanza 7. So we're going to sing the stanza 1, first stanza, and then 5, 6, and 7. Let's arise to sing 185. Bibles together tonight to the Word of God in John chapter 19. And we're going to read the fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 69 that we just sang together. As we read these scriptures, John chapter 19, we're going to start at verse 16 and we're going to read through verse 30. Our portion tonight of the Word of God will be verse 30, which is the sixth crossword, "It is finished." And if your memory goes back a few weeks, we were up to verse 16 in our congregational Bible study. So that's where we start to read John 19, verse 16. And you remember that it was at this point that Pilate, out of fear, for they had threatened to report him to Caesar, Pilate is going to give Jesus over. Reading the scriptures in John 19, verse 16. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, one on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top to the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Holy Spirit tonight write God's word upon our hearts. We consider the 30th verse. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke add one important thing that is omitted by John in our text, namely, that he said these words with a loud voice. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice. Mark 15, verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice. Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice. You know immediately the reason for that. You sense immediately what is going on here when you hear these words with a loud voice. That means that this is a declaration of triumph, of victory, that the Lord is announcing that his cross has been victorious, that he has attained the work that the Father gave him to do on that cross. I mentioned to the children on this past Wednesday that the centurion in whom the Holy Spirit was working would have heard what type of voice Jesus used from the cross to say the words, it is finished. It would have been the voice of a victor, of one who has gained a victory in his battle. It is finished. He did not whimper those words. He did not whisper those words, but he said them with a loud and triumphant voice. As we read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and John through the Holy Spirit, was desirous to show us the need for the fifth crossword. In verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Psalm 69 said he would say, I thirst. And then we read, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Two things, vinegar to a thirsty man. And Jesus at this point, his tongue is swollen. His lips are cracked and crusted. All of the moisture is leaving his body. But nevertheless, vinegar to a thirsty man is cruel, utter cruelty. Secondly, we read that though it is vinegar, the vinegar of our sin, Jesus received it. Literally, he sucked that sponge. And with the moisture that he is receiving through that vinegar, his mouth is now open and able to say with a triumphant voice, it is finished. He's declaring that the work of salvation is done. He's announcing before he dies for us, for his church, he's announcing the victory over sin and death has been already made. He doesn't want us to wait 3 days while he's in the grave wondering. Before he dies, he announces the victory. Jesus spoke these words in the Greek language, and the Greek language is a language of precision. Telestai, the Greek word, and the translation is precise. It is finished. The translation is not and cannot be, I am finished. Do you see the difference? If his cry was, I am finished, then the idea is, I'm done, I'm a goner, I'm defeated. It would be the cry of a man who would whisper the words, I'm finished. There's no more left in me. It would be defeat. But he doesn't say, I am finished. His loud voice is, it is finished. He wants us to hear that tonight. He wants us to know that through his death, God has now cast all our sins behind his back. He wants his voice to echo throughout the whole New Testament age. He wants his voice to echo in our hearts. It is finished. So let's follow the Lord's words tonight. And we'll follow with three divisions, asking three questions. What does it mean? Or what is finished? Secondly, to whom is Jesus making this announcement? And finally, what will be our response as we hear him? Exactly then, what is Jesus saying is finished? Well, let's hear the answer to that question from his own lips. If you turn to John 17, where earlier in that evening, he had prayed before his disciples what we call the high priestly prayer. We read in verse 4 of John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What is finished? The work that his Father gave him to do even before he entered into the world. The work assigned to him is finished. What was that work that the Father gave him to do? Well, again, let's use Jesus' own words. John chapter 6, verses 39 through 40. And this is the Father's will, who has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. The work that God gave to Jesus was to take every one that the Father had given to him and give to them eternal life. Jesus is saying that work is now finished. I have accomplished that. We must remember that Jesus, therefore, in this pronouncement is speaking to us as Jesus Christ, as the Christ. We confess Christ crucified. Paul said, I preach Christ crucified. Christ is the one who has been sent of God. Christ is the one who has the work of God upon his shoulder to accomplish the work of God. And that work that God placed upon his shoulder, the scripture tells us repeatedly, is to save my people from their sin, to pay the debt of our sin. It's very plain when we read the scriptures, the work that the Christ was given of the Father, which he alone as God the Son could accomplish in our behalf. That work was not that he would come to redirect humanity into better social programs. That work was not that he would come to offer terms of an appeasement and a compromise between a holy God and a sinful world. That work was not that he was coming as God's gift of appreciation for mankind and its societies. But that work was to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will take our judgment before the face of God. He will save us. Tetelestai, it is finished. That goal is attained. That purpose is accomplished. Do you hear that in your soul? Jesus is saying words to this effect. Done with that. Paid that debt required. Your guilt. It's gone. It's finished. What was finished then was specifically the work of the cross. The work of the cross. All that the cross was placed by God to do has now been accomplished. He had come for that cross. Now, yes, he had come to do other things. He had come to preach, and he had come to teach, and to reveal to us the Father. He had come to perform miracles to show the power of God's grace. And we know that there is still work for him to perform, for he is gathering by his word and spirit out of all the nations of the world one church, so that he is working as he sends forth his word and spirit to gather us into one. But all of his miracles, all of his teaching, and also his work in gathering the church, all of it depended upon one thing, this cross, what he called the hour for which I am sent, the cup that I must drink. All of it depended upon one thing that he, as the spotless Son of God, the Lamb of God, would remove our guilt in order that he could give to us in its place a perfect righteousness in the sight of God, to take away your filth and to clothe you with his own love and obedience so that you are spotless in the sight of God, to make an atonement. That was the cross. And now he says concerning the work of that cross, The cross which gains our inheritance in heaven, our adoption, our freedom, our redemption, which gains everything for us. He says, it is finished. It is accomplished. I have performed the work the Father gave me to do. For he said to us, it is my meat. It is that which I live on, to do the will of him that sent me. But yet, let's look just a little further. What is now finished? What is now accomplished? The cross? The work of the Messiah? Yes. But let's ask the question, what was the intent, the goal, the purpose of that work? Why did God send him to do that? And we know, we have been blessed of God to know this answer from Scripture. We say it often, the covenant of grace, the bond of the everlasting covenant, that we might have fellowship with God through all of this work of his Son. God is taking us unto himself in righteousness, into his own embrace and bosom, so that we can be his children and we can live with him in fellowship and love. He did not send his Son simply to say, well, go cleanse these sinners and bring them out of the bondage of a sinful life and bring them one day even into heaven so that they can be over there in a nice place called heaven. But God sent him so that we might come to his own favor, to his own house, to live with God forever, to establish the covenant. The work of the cross is to establish the covenant. And now he says, it is finished. We are the friends of God forever because his work on the cross is accomplished. Psalm 68, the purpose of the Messiah, that thou, the Lord God, might dwell among them. And then we sing, that men might dwell with thee forever. And that's why also we need to understand that the cross, has his work was to redeem the creation. His work of the cross that is finished was not only to bring us into fellowship with God, but also to redeem the place where one day we will have perfect fellowship with God, namely the renewed creation, where God will dwell with us. And so we say, what is finished? God's eternal counsel of love and grace, when in himself he willed that he would create us, he would redeem us, and with the creation he would bring us to live with him forever in glory. Three times the scriptures use the words, it is finished. Genesis 2, verse 1, on the seventh day, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Then we read Revelation 16, verse 17, when the seventh vial is poured out, and I heard a great voice out of the temple of heaven saying, from the throne of God, saying, it is done. Beginning of the creation, it is finished. The last day, when the wrath of God is poured out, it is finished. But both of them united in this one, when Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Everything that God wanted done in time, the redemption of his people and the creation of a covenant and the creation of a new heavens and new earth. God's goal, everything that abided in his own heart, it is finished on the ground of his sufferings on Calvary. To whom is Jesus speaking? Who is he declaring? And he's declaring this as a fact. To whom is he declaring that? Well, he's speaking, first of all, to his enemies. To his enemies. A victor declares his triumph over his foes. And this word of Jesus, this word of Jesus is a terrible word to his foes, to the devil, to a wicked and unbelieving world, to the unbelieving Jews of that day who rejected him, because these words spell their doom. It spells the doom of the kingdom of men. It spells the doom of the hopes of sinful men. It goes back to Psalm 2 when sinful men shake their fist before the God of heaven and say, we will defeat thy purpose and cause. Jesus' declaration is a word to them, a word of doom. It is finished. The kingdom of God is established. It was a word directed to Satan, the prince of this world. Satan, who had heard the mother promise that this seed of the woman would one day crush his head. Now the word, the seed, Jesus Christ, says to Satan, you are destroyed. Your purposes are futile. The purposes of a wicked world that you seek to organize against the Lord of glory. They're defeated. And therefore, the book of Revelation says to us about Satan that he knows that he has but a short time. So, first of all, Jesus is declaring the doom of all who would stand against him. They are frightening words to unbelief. They are frightening words to the arrogance of men. They are frightening words among the inhabitants of hell, Satan and his demons. But then secondly, although we wanted to say and see that those words were first of all the triumph over his enemies, secondly, he's saying these words to his Father, to the one who sent him, to the one who gave him the work. The word, the Greek word that I've been mentioning now, tetelestai, was a word that was very common for a servant to say to his master and for a son to say to his father after the servant, after the son had completed an assigned task from his father. The son would come back and say, tetelestai, it's done. God the Son on the cross, who was sent by the triune God in God's eternal counsel, the second person of the Trinity, to enter into our flesh, to be incarnate of the Virgin Mary, God the Son, who was given to accomplish the decree of the Father's covenant, his friendship, now God the Son speaks to his God, the triune God, his Father, and he says, it's done. I don't know if I may say, I will say it, I think I may. In the holy, perfect being of God, there was a thrill of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I finished the work decreed in the triune God. It is done. In John 17, he prays with joy to his Father that covenant purpose of the triune God is completed. I in them, in my people, and thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. I have brought thy children, chosen merely of grace, from a dunghill of hopelessness, and I have brought them to thee. It's done. He speaks the words to his enemies as a word of doom. He speaks to the word to his heavenly Father in joy. But primarily, he speaks these words to you and me. For he's our Savior. He wants you, his child, maybe tonight fearful, maybe tonight burdened with sin, maybe tonight filled with self-reproach. Maybe you tonight as a child of God who are becoming frustrated and discouraged. He wants you to hear it from him. That's why he speaks loud and triumphantly. I'm well aware that he speaks these words to us through the Holy Scriptures. I also am aware that he speaks these words to you. What a blessing it is to come to church. He speaks these words to us in the preaching of the gospel. So we have heard this, what I've said tonight. We've all heard it before. Christ has accomplished God's will for our salvation. He's finished the guilt of our sins. But when he said these words, first time from the cross, before his body was taken down, before he, and in a moment, in the next breath, he will give up the ghost, he will say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he will, as we said Wednesday night, willingly die, give up his life, literally, for us. And then they will take down his body, and they will put his body in the grave. But before any of that happens, he wants you to know it's finished. At that moment, when the light returned to Calvary, and when the 3 hours of darkness were over, and when he had completed all the scriptures, and he had said, I thirst, because he would leave behind no unfulfilled scripture, then you must hear. You must not wait to hear. You must hear. It's finished. It says, though he turns his bloody head, and through the scriptures, with you in mind, and you were in mind at that point, he says it to you. It is finished. Your sins, your hidden sins. You don't want anybody to know about that. The guilt of those sins, the shame of those sins, the wretchedness that you feel by the Spirit because of your sins, those sins of which you would say, I can't be forgiven of that. He wants you to know it's finished. He has done all. He has endured all. He has paid it in full. He did not stop in his suffering until they were paid in full. And now triumphantly, he declares
to you, child of God. It's finished.
Again, I've been speaking about this word, tetelestai, and it has another use in the scriptures. And that word, tetelestai, is used to indicate that a debt had been paid in full. It's something like, used to be a notary of public on a bill, and there would be a stamp, and it was red, if I remember correctly, and in the middle it said paid in full. Well, they would use the word tetelestai for the same thing. They'd write down tetelestai on a bill to indicate that that bill was paid, because archaeologists have discovered what must have been some accountant's office, and all of the receipts from that era. And on all of the bills of sale that were in the receipts of the office, the ones that were paid are all marked tetelestai, paid in full, notary of public, no longer payable. These words of Jesus Christ are the notary of public, the receipt, the stamp for the debt that we owed to God, that mounted up to the heavens, that we could never have paid. Paid in full. Finished. Jesus says, I'm going to say that to you before I die. Before my body is carried to the grave and my soul goes to my heavenly Father. Before that, I want you to hear it from me. I want you to hear it from me from the cross. Your sins are paid in full. The response joyful humility, praise, worship, service. Commitment, love. The response is, first of all, that we will put every thought that there is anything else that must yet be done by the sinner to gain forgiveness or to add to that salvation. His word of victory chases right out of the church all false doctrine, anything that would say that the atonement is not a completed thing, that yet the work of saints or pope or whatever it may be are necessary, that there's more merit necessary than what Jesus has done for us to be reconciled to God. It is finished. On Monday of the Passion Week, you remember that Jesus cleanse the temple. With these words, Jesus cleanses the theology of the church, the works of men, the works of saints, the works of angels, the works of anyone. You don't need them. You must not look to them. You do not add them. Everything is finished in his work. But that being true, the response is also a heartfelt repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. These words, it is finished, are calling the child of God to to repentance and faith in him. We cannot hear these words, sin paid in full, and then desire to continue to walk and live in our sins. But we shall no more desire to serve sins. We cannot look to the cross of Jesus Christ and hear the doctrine that we are completely forgiven in Jesus Christ and then say, and now I can live in sin. My life doesn't matter what I do, but we will want all of our deeds to testify of our gratitude to God for his salvation. We will fall down before him in tears of sorrow. Our sins will afflict us even more when we know that it was those sins that put him to death. And we'll say, Savior, all I want is to hear that cry. And that cry will motivate me to say to my Savior what Paul said to his Savior, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How shall I serve thee? And then finally, they will give us rest. It is finished. The burden of guilt is gone. We have peace with God. We have rest also tonight as we have confinement in our homes and the virus continues to spread. More restrictions, more fears, loneliness, confinement in a nursing home, our business and our livelihood being threatened, perhaps for years to come. Questions about an unknown future, all of these things as we see them coming upon our community. Yes, we pray for a cure, yes. We ask God to remember us in these times, but the guilt of our sin is gone. We can stand and rest and know that the Lord will care for us, that the Lord will bless us, that he will never forsake us. We may rest in the Lord with perfect peace. The only peace. Peace with God. Justified with God. His child. And forever I am. Because he said, it is finished. Amen. We thank thee, Father, in this night for thy word. We thank thee for the victory of the cross. Now in our homes, in our single dwelling, just us and this video message, may we hear him by the Holy Spirit through the word speak to our hearts the only words that we ever needed to hear. Our sins are paid in full. It is finished. Praise be to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing together now from Psalter number 187. Number 187 in our Psalters. And again, let's stand up to do this. And it's a very beautiful and much loved Psalter. We know the words, thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. We're going to sing tonight the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Arising to sing. 187, 1, 2, and 4. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.